السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم. وقال: ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يستعفف يعفه الله، ومن يستغني يغنه الله، ومن يتصبر يصبره الله، وما أعطي أحد أطاعا خيرا وأوسع من الصبر، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Previously we spoke about how in this era everything we find around us is imtihan and fitna, and we mentioned it's a fitna which has come out and whose source is Dajjal himself. And thereafter we mentioned that now to fight this fitna we will have to look and take lessons from Quran and Sunnah how to stand up against this fitna. So previously we mentioned about Musa alayhi salam and Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam, that the main lesson in their incidents was that Nabi Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam told Musa alayhi salam that you don't understand the reality. So we explained that to fight the fitna of Dajjal, the first thing we will have to learn how to do is that we have to start denying what our eyes see. And only what the hadith mentions, we will have to put complete yaqeen on that. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam's child passed away at a very young age, meaning in the lap of the mother, Ibrahim radiyallahu an. So the mother was obviously very hurt. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to her and asked her that if you wish, I will make dua and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will show you your child who is swinging in the swings of Jannah. And will that make you happy? So the mother of the child so beautifully replied that even if I have to see that sight, there is always the chance that my eyes could be deceiving me. But the words of my Nabi can never be a lie. So after you have told me he is swinging on those swings, there is no need now for me to see it. Sahaba radiallahu anhu reached that level of iman on the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu would say that if Jannah and Jahannam has to now be brought in front of us, and we have to see it ayanan in front, it would not increase our iman in the least bit. That's a very high level of iman. Whereas the words and what you see were both barabar now for them. So we have to make that effort where we have to start bringing so much yaqeen in the words of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because everything around us now will be dajjal, will be one, what you will say, a screen. It will be a lie. It will be catching on the eye. So amongst those things that will be dajjal, we started mentioning that the usul is that everything we see around us, we will have to be ready to deny. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Kahf mentions a very important point, and that's also the highlight of the story when he says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ, that it was young boys who had brought iman on the Creator. Meaning in the time where there was fitna all around and evil, it was young boys who stood up to the challenge. Giving us the lesson that in the final era, when the Dajjal's fitna will be on its height, it will be the youth who will have to stand up the most. The attack will be made not so much on the older people, it will be made on the younger generation. If you look at every new thing that comes out, you will find the old people can't even understand it, forget using it. If it's the internet that comes out, that person doesn't know how to start the computer. But that young child at home, 7, 8 years old, can do everything like magic. Because the attack is to hit him in such a manner that the person above him can't understand what's happening. And don't think we are so clever that we can work these things out and our parents can't. Because the time will come when we will be old. And at that time, different fitnas will come out where we will be looking astonished. And what that youngster will be doing will be something we'll have no idea about. So in every era, the youth are going to be attacked more than the old people. Nabi Abak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, speaking about these fitnas, and fitna we said is imtihan, a test. He said the first fitna that the Bani Israel were put to, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, was regarding women. And it will be in this fitna that my ummah will also have to face, this imtihan. And just like how the Bani Israel failed in this imtihan, many of this ummah will also fail. Bal'am bin Ba'ura was the man who the people went to and told him that you know the great name of Allah, and we have heard Musa alayhi salam and his army is coming to attack. So it's big baddua against them. So when he tried to make baddua against Musa alayhi salam, he was Allah's Nabi, it never worked. And his tongue went the other way around. Whatever he would say would hit back on him. The words were not coming out. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala thereafter cursed him. Finally, when now the people were leaving him, he told the people, I cannot do anything. However, if you all want to stop this army coming and stop the success of the Bani Israel, then beautify your daughters and send them in their army. And if one of these people have to lift up his gaze at her and fall in love with any of your daughters, then that itself will be sufficient to stop the entire success of the army. And this is what they did. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw this test coming and he warned the people, don't even look at these girls. But one person never obey. Because of which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala lifted his divine help. Although a Nabi was amongst those people, divine help was lifted. And thereafter a major plague was put on the Bani Israel, in which thousands and thousands and thousands had to pass away. Until finally they all gathered together and they made a law that in the future whoever will make zina, the boy and the girl both will be killed and hung up. So that everyone can get a lesson. And only when this tawbah they made, Allah Pak lifted that plague from them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the same way my ummah will be hit with the fitna of women. So how do we fight this fitna of women? The first thing we have to understand is, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reward Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, Allah Pak creates different alims to fight different fitnas. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it seems, created him for this. The way Hazrat Hakim Sahib has mentioned about the fitna of women, you will hardly find anyone else mentioning it. Where he went open. He said, I'm not shy to sit in the masjid on the mimbar and say what I am saying. Because if I don't say it, who will say it? And then he mentioned. So the first thing that he explained is, Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, to fight against the fitna of women is, that this desire that we get in our hearts to look at a young girl, or it might be a desire to look at a young boy also. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatuh says, in the past it was a zamana of bare pardagi. There was no parda, because of which all the problems would start. Now it is not a masala of parda and no parda. Now it's uryani, that there is no clothes left on the body. When there was no parda, the problems were so big. In our country, there is no clothes. When we think of naked, we think that the person's main private parts are open. That is called naked. Because our minds have become so filthy. In the eyes of Sharia, a naked woman is that woman who her hands are exposed. Her hair is exposed. The top part of her chest is exposed. The bottom part of the leg is exposed. That is a woman who is naked. But because we see this all around us, we don't even regard it as nakedness. So this uryani. How to fight this uryani? So this is where Hazrat Hakim Sahib said something which many would not say before openly. Where he explained that when you get the desire to look at a young girl, whether you are old or whether you are young, it makes no difference. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man will get old, but his desire and his shahwat, that will get younger all the time. His desire to look is always there. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib explained, the first thing is, we cannot think that the desire to look at young girls is itself bad. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran said, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا, that every person has been created with the desire to do evil. So when you get that desire, don't think that means I'm a very bad person. Majority of the people fall in this. When that desire comes, they feel that since I'm desiring my sister-in-law, so now what can I do now? And he won't even mention it to somebody else because he feels ashamed where that desire came. The desire comes from shaitan. And we got no power over the desire. Allah Pak says, وَتَقْوَاهَا. But we created taqwa next to the desire of evil. Taqwa is the fear of one's creator. When that fear comes in front of us, when you stop, you are the beloved of Allah. Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahimullah, writing the Shara of Mulana Rum Rahimullah, a kitab called Kalid al-Mathnawi, while writing it, he explains that when you desire to look at a young girl, see, example, you marry in a family. No matter how smart your wife is, shaitan will always make your sister-in-law or your wife's niece look more smarter than your wife. So he explained, whenever a woman comes in front, which is mentioned in the hadith, and your eye falls on her, then you're actually not looking at a woman, you're looking at shaitan. That woman is shaitan in disguise. Shaitan comes in front of the woman mentioned in the hadith and at the back of the woman. And he pulls your eyes towards her front, he pulls your eyes towards her back. And then you fall in love. But you have not fallen in love with the girl itself, you have fallen in love with shaitan. So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Tanwi said, this is called tamweeh. Tamweeh, an adornment of shaitan. Every woman besides your wife will be made to look more beautiful to you. And not forever, until the day shaitan pushes you in the problem. And that day when the reality of that girl opens up, you get shocked. That my wife was so beautiful, how I ended up here. So that is tamweeh. Thereafter he writes so amazingly, so beautifully he writes. And I ask all brothers who are reading this, that at the moment this banda, meaning speaking of himself, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Tanwi, is also involved in an imtihan of tamweeh. I ask you all to make dua that Allah saves me from this imtihan. Our akabir were not shy to say that we also going through the same imtihan. Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib would say, do not think a wali doesn't get desire for woman. Why does he get married then? How does he have children then? Do you think he sits on the musalla and makes dua the first night? Oh Allah, send a child, he got desires. But what's the difference between a wali and a fasik? The wali knows how to say, no, I won't do it. And he feels bad about it also. It hurts him also. It makes him bleed also. It makes him cry. And the fasik just gives in. Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh mentioned then under this tamweeh that it's just adornment of shaitan. The girl doesn't look so beautiful. Shaitan has made her look beautiful. He explains that Nabi Apak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words are haq and true. That no matter how smart that girl looks in front of you, you have to believe in Allah's messenger. Wallah, she's not so smart. He explains a certain murid went to a khanka. The sheikh had a slave girl. Obviously, the slave girl doesn't make parada. So the murid's eyes fell on this girl. And a certain lust came in his heart for her desire. She noticed this looking of his, that he was glancing at her every now and then. She mentioned to the sheikh. So the sheikh wanted to make his ilaj, to teach him that what you are looking at is not reality. So what he did, he gave this girl some pills to eat, and over a period of time, she started having diarrhea. And because of the severity of diarrhea, that beauty of her face now went away. The cheeks, which were so nice and round, now went in. And that bonny became skinny. And that leg, which he was looking at with such a big eye, now was going in. A woman who is a slave, obviously doesn't have the laws of parada. And thereafter, a while later, he told the woman, I want you to walk past this person. And as she walked past him, he did not even look up. Because no longer was she the beauty of his eye. Now he looked and he saw, what is this? And he felt hurt in his heart. The beauty is gone, and he looked down again. Thereafter, the sheikh called him. And the sheikh said that a while ago, you were always looking at this girl when she was walking past you, but now you are not even lifting your gaze. So he explained the reality, that she doesn't look smart anymore. So he asked, what was it that you were looking at? He says, the only difference that happened 1 month ago and now is that she was having a lot of diarrhea. And whatever was coming out, I gathered it also in a big container. All that stool. And I want you to come and look at it and see how beautiful it looks. And when that man saw that and he smelled that, immediately he said, how can you collect this? So the sheikh says, this is what was catching your eye. You were not in love with the girl, you were in love with the filth of the girl. Because nothing else left the girl. It was only this filth that in the container that came out from her body, and now your love has gone. Hazrat Hakim Sahib, in the day after, he explained this in a very beautiful way. He says, Husan jab mushil se pika par gaya. Husan jab mushil se pika par gaya. That because of the pearls, when the beauty of the woman disappeared, ishq ka bazaar thanda par gaya. then the shops of love just close down. So then, that story is that story. But look at us. We fall in love with a girl and we really think she's so beautiful. And Allah's Messenger has mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, that same girl will be running behind us. And that filth and that stool of that girl will be apparent. And she'll be telling us, you want, smell it, eat it, here is what you were running behind. Filth and dirt. At that time when man will run and run, that thing will chase him. Shaitan will chase him, his wealth will chase him, the evil he was doing will chase him. But then it will be too late. So if we have to bring yaqeen in Allah's words, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words, that it is no reality behind it. It's an imtihan of your creator through shaitan. That girl is going to be made to look very, very beautiful. But when she comes in front, you must realize that Allah's Messenger said, do not look. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has said, Hadith Qudsi, that when a young girl comes in front of a man, he said, An-nazru sahmum min sihami iblis. The eye is an arrow from the arrows of shaitan. The eye is an arrow from the arrows of shaitan. Man tarakaha makhafati. And when that young girl comes in front, and man breaks his heart and he looks down, I don't want to look. And again the heart says, please, one look, and he just looks down. In the fear of someone who is looking on top of him. Abdaltuhu imanan. Then that gham that he will feel in his heart, that cry and that sorrow and that desire, I want to look. Allah Pak says, I will change it into such iman. Yajidu halawatahu fi qalbi. That the sweetness of that iman he will himself taste. Just for that gham that you give. Which Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, I gave one life and Allah Pak gave 1,000 lives back. But you'll have to do that sacrifice. The fitna of woman is not something we can run away from. It's something we have to face. The desire to look is going to be with us till our death. We have been told, don't look. Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh explained so beautifully that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught this ummah how to fight the fitna. And he never told the ummah, the day you get involved with that girl, then think of your creator and pull back. Because the day when you are with that girl alone, then it is the work of a Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam at that moment could say, bas, I fear my creator and run. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, don't get into the situation. Wala taqrabu zina. Allah Pak never said, don't do zina. He said, don't go near the zina. Because when you come near, no one can manage then to pull away. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man must not stay in privacy with another woman. Except that there is a mahram, somebody else there with them. Which one wali said very beautifully, shaitan has mentioned that even if Hassan Basri and Rabia Basriya, two walis of the time, have to be alone in a room, I will get them involved in fitna, in zina. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, don't fall in the situation. Anyone who falls in, Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh says, the problem with our people, we fall in the situation. And the last moment we think, I'll pull back. What a father normally says, that it's just innocent fun. My son and he got a girlfriend, they're innocent, nothing else is happening. A man on the cell phone is caught by his wife sending filthy messages. He says, innocent, nothing is going to happen, innocent. That innocence is the biggest problem. So Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib says, what is that innocence? It's the innocence of the young mice. When they leave their holes in the morning and now they're playing around innocently. This mouse with that mouse, that mouse with that mouse. All of them are very innocent in the game. And while they are playing and thinking nothing can happen, then suddenly the cat appears. And when that cat comes out, he says, at that moment there's such an alam over the innocence of that mice that everyone runs for his life. At that moment, not one mouse will think, which hole am I going to? Is it my hole or somebody else's hole? Is it a black hole or a white hole? Does the hole have AIDS in it or does it have some other filthy sickness? Is it a halal hole or a haram hole? Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib says, and he said, I'm not shy to say it because this is reality. And we heard it from him on the mimbar, that's why we got courage to say it on the mimbar. He says, when that cat of desire comes out at that final moment, that boy and girl are in the university, they are gone for the final night, the ball, whatever they call it, and now the last night, and then when that cat of ishq comes out, that cat of desire, then you think that boy is going to say, hey, my father told me don't do nonsense tonight. When that cat comes out, the mouse will run. Whichever hole it finds, it's gone in. And only later on then the crying starts. Hazrat Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, don't ever trust ourselves. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the era of Dajjal, two people will speak amongst themselves, Dajjal has come. So one will tell the other, hey, let's go see what he's doing. This sounds interesting. The friend will say, you can't go there, Dajjal, he will catch you. He said, no, I know him. I know it's wrong. Nothing will happen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will go there, they will see what has to be seen, and they will fall in the trap of Dajjal. What lesson he gave us, never trust ourselves. We trust ourselves when we put that internet on and we close the doors. That I will do innocent work on this internet. But when that pop-up comes, that press here to see more, then everyone forgets how much he trusts himself. Had there been people around at that moment, nothing would have happened. But because that man trusted himself. We trust ourselves when we tell our wife, you cannot touch my cell phone. I am very innocent in everything. The boy tells his parents, y'all cannot go in my bedroom, I'm very innocent. So when the person trusts himself, that's the biggest problem that we have. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fitna of Dajjal will pull that person inside. Al-Hamu al-Maut is a story. Today I just went over it again. Previously I had mentioned it. I will mention it again because of the wisdom in the story. Al-Hamu al-Maut. There's a book in the library. It's called Qisasun Mu'athiratun Lishabab. That stories which will spur the youth on. So at the beginning he writes, these are true incidents, but the names have been changed. And the countries are not mentioned. It happens with everyone's life, however. How much we trust ourselves. So there was a boy whose name was Salih. The boy's name was Khalid. And one day he was very sad. He's speaking, his friend saw him. His friend's name was Salih. So his friend says, what's wrong? He says, a big problem. About 8 months ago, I got married. And now my younger brother has completed his lower studies. He has now got admission in the Jamia, the university. And that's very near, yeah? And now my father and mother are making israr. They are forcing that the boy must come and live in my house. And my father is saying that I cannot allow him to be in a university. Because in the university, there's all filth and there's dirt. There's good and there's bad. He says, Kullu man habba wa dabba. Everyone who can walk on the earth is there in the university. And I fear that he will go astray. So you put him in your house, he will be looked after. So this boy says, I'm going to go ask one alim, and the alim told me that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words in this aspect is true. That a sahabi radiallahu anhu heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that don't let any man walk into your house. So the sahabi said, oh Allah's messenger, what about in-laws? Meaning my brother-in-law. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhammu al-maut. That the brother-in-law is death for your wife. Death. The worst thing you can do is bring him into that house. So Khalid says, when I mentioned to my parents this, they got extremely angry. And they told me, are you trying to break family ties, number one? What we always say. Make parada in the house, you want to break the house up. Said, second thing, you don't trust your brother. You think he got such a filthy heart. You must be having thoughts about one day his wife, what's going to happen with her. He's a pure boy, how can you think? That's the same thing our people say nowadays. You don't trust your brother. What are they going to do? And then what is the father said? That girl in your house is like his big sister. What we say, our Barbie, my Ben, what's going to happen with your sister? How can it be your sister? So his father said that. So then Salih, his friend, starts speaking and he also giving his shaitani advice. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't ever have bad thoughts about people. So in the name of deen, everything comes out. La tajtanibu ijtanibu kathiram min az-zann, his friend told him. Quran says, don't have bad thoughts about people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the pleasure of your creator is in the pleasure of your parents. How can you make them angry? And he gave him his own dawah. Allah's words and Allah's messenger's words, if we don't have yaqeen on it, wallah, the athar, then when you see, you will just cry. So finally, he brought that boy into his house. And the person says, now the story goes 4 years later. Khalid one day is on his way home at night. He hears a certain woman screaming. He rushes to see what's happening. It's an old woman and a young girl. The woman says, my daughter is going to deliver. I need someone to rush us to hospital. There's no one. So he looks around. There's no one. He puts them in his car. He takes them to the hospital. There at the hospital, he phones home. He tells his wife, this is what happened. I'm going to stay here to see what happens with the child. So he falls asleep. When his eyes open, he finds he's surrounded by a couple of police officers, also doctors. And that woman is screaming, this is him, this is him, this is him. So he gets amazed. They take him in the office. They say that this woman has said that you had once upon a time raped her daughter. And when she threatened you that she will take you to the police, then you said that you will keep the girl with you, you will look after her. And when she gives birth, then the child will be taken and you will just put it outside someone's house, and that child will then be taken and left somewhere, and then you don't have to worry of the expenses of the child. And she made up one whole story, because the problem was the husband of the child was not anywhere. So he got shocked, and he was such an afif, a pious, a upright person. He said, I tried to do good for this woman, what is she doing? So in that shock, he fell unconscious. So when he gained consciousness, one doctor came and told him, nothing to worry about. If you really prove you're innocent, the only thing we need is to take some medical exams of you. And with that, we will take some semen, some particles, we will test it, we will see if it can match what the child's, what they call the genes are. And if he sees there's no match, then definitely it's all a lie and you'll go free. So he felt very upset about this, that they have to take a test, but he finally gave into it. And the test was taken, the doctor after that told him nothing to worry about. The case is solved and the woman has been taken to the police station, and now they're going to try and look for the person who's the father of the child. It's an Islamic country. Who made zina with the woman? So when you go meet the doctor the last time, the doctor says to him that, you know what, I feel very hard to say to you, but I want to explain something, that you have a certain sickness in your body, and I would like to have more tests done upon you to realize how severe the sickness is. So he gets very worried. Is it cancer? What is it? So the doctor says, as long as I don't test you, I cannot say anything. So he tests him. After a while, the doctor says, please bring your children also. At this moment, he got three sons, one daughter. He brings those children also. And his brother at that moment, 4 years later, was now in the final year. And he was getting ready now to get his brother married and to get him work at that same institute. The worry for his brother. So after the tests are done, then one day the doctor calls him the next day and tells him that it's a little bit serious, I have to speak to you. So while they are speaking, he gets a phone call, his brother is on the phone. His brother has lost the key for the door of the house. So on the phone, he says to his brother, don't break the door, I'm coming. So when he puts the phone down, the doctor asks him, who are you speaking to? He says, my brother. He lives with us. The doctor says, for how long is he living? He says, 4 years. The doctor says, I want to see if the sickness has also hit him in his family. So please bring him also. So when they bring that person, the doctor does tests on him also. And he says, 2 weeks later, come for the results. So when Khalid is there in front of the doctor starts giving him advice about sabr and difficulties. And we can't run away from difficulties. And we have to face the difficulties. So Khalid says that in the last 2 weeks, I have sorted out everything in my life. And I have got enough funds for my family, for my wife, for my children. I'll just get my brother married also and he will be sorted out. And then if death has to come, what difference it makes? So the doctor says, your sickness is not death. Your sickness is that you are such a person who cannot have children. You are such a person who cannot have children. The 4 children in your house are the children of your brother. So when he hears that day, imagine it's not even our family, we're feeling sorry for him. Imagine how he was feeling at that moment. But Allah's messenger's words are true. When he hears that, he just falls back in shock. And that fall gave him a knock on his head. They write, for 2 weeks he remained unconscious. When he gained consciousness, they found that his brain had been affected. So he was mentally now sick. So they had to move him to a mad hospital. And because of the severe fall, he hit his spine. So from the lower part of the body downwards, he became paralyzed. At that moment now, after the time when he was taken to the hospital, the person writes, regarding his wife, at the moment she's still in the jail, and they are just getting all the evidence ready, and she has made i'tiraf, she has given witness, and soon the death penalty will be put on top of her, because she is a woman who has made zina, married. And regarding the brother, he is behind bars and he is waiting for his punishment. And regarding 4 children, they are now in the orphanage. And then he says, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's messenger, his most mubarak words, Alhamu al-maut, that your brother-in-law is death. In this instance, never just mean that watch out for him. It really meant that in this family, the brother-in-law brought death. Now, this is not one incident that happens and never happens again. It happens every day. I never think it won't happen in my house. Because that was the mistake Khalid made. When he thought, my brother won't do it. Qadi Akbar Ilahabadi Rahimullah used to say, Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatuh taught us, Be pardagi ka ye natija nikla. And that was be pardagi, we know parda. Now it's uryani. A woman is naked. He says, Be pardagi ka ye natija nikla. Because there is no proper parda being made. Jisku hum beta samajte te batija nikla. That boy in my house who all my life I thought is my son. One day I found out that this is my nephew. But it's the reality. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. That every person has to make that effort now to bring complete shari'i law in his house. If we are a person who cannot look after our eyes and looking at everyone else, then in our life, there must be at least parda so much at the beginning of the eyes. Don't look at filth around us. And alhamdulillah, there are many families where the wife is in parda, and the man doesn't have relations with other women openly. But which Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah would say, it's called Gujarati parda. That the woman will make parda from everyone outside, but in the house, everyone is together. So they have to make an effort to remove the Gujarati parda also. That in the house, the brother cannot look at the sister-in-law. That is the main thing. And then all the other pardas that must take place. And wallah, if Allah's messenger's words are obeyed in our house, we will never see a breakup of the house. Rather, we will see unity being created in the house. Allah's mercy comes when His commands are obeyed. Allah's punishment comes when His commands are disobeyed. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us all himmat tawfiq. As long as we don't make an effort and we continue trusting ourselves, then times will come when you will cry, why did I trust myself? Let us stop trusting ourselves, make an effort to stay away, then Allah Pak will protect us from falling into the act of zina.